Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Fader Interview. I'm Alex Robert Ross, Editorial Director of The Fader. Injury reserve, the trio of Stepper J. Groggs, Richie with a T, and Parker Corey, pulled off the remarkable feat of becoming more avant-garde musically as their popularity and stature grew. A group that started out as acolytes of De La Soul and A Tribe Called Quest on 2015's Live from the Dentist Office, evolved into purveyors of dense noise rap and unearthed the community in the margins. 2021's By the Time I Get to Phoenix was released in the aftermath of Groggs' untimely death at 32 a year earlier. It came to be seen as something of a farewell to the rapper, but in reality, was mostly written and recorded while he was still alive. As such, Richie and Corey hadn't yet created anything new without their best friend and former collaborator. There is no truly satisfactory way to operate in the wake of such a loss. Simply carrying on can look cold-hearted, while ending a group suddenly may be unsatisfactory to fans seeking closure. 2 years later, Richie and Corey have found a new way to move forward. It came earlier this month in the form of a 10-minute long music video. The first half comprises candid footage of Groggs in the good times, soundtracked by Injury Reserve's By Storm, the closing song on By the Time I Get to Phoenix. The latter half is a new song, Double Trio, their inaugural single as a duo under the moniker By Storm. Richie and Corey are reluctant to say at this stage whether there will be more By Storm music. For the time being, they just want to let Double Trio breathe. It's a song that requires space too. The emotions that run through Richie's lyrics start out raw. He's kept awake by the pain of Groggs' loss. Corey's beat, like a billowing cloud of smoke, cloaks Richie's words and matches his darkness bar for bar. Slowly, though, the grief transforms into a unique form of energy, and the song evolves into something akin to a pep talk. It's a remarkable moment that acknowledges the past while finding room to step bravely into the future. Shortly after the video's release, Richie and Corey jumped on a call with the Fader's David Renshaw to discuss the metaphorical passing of the torch from Injury Reserve to By Storm, expand on the process of making their new music, and look back at the last decade of their work together.
The place I wanted to kind of start was in the past, which is the tour you did immediately after the release of the last album. And I know that that was kind of a very interesting, kind of charged time for you both. And I was curious as to what your memories of that tour are at this point in time.
I think for me, there's like two different levels of the memories. I remember going into it and not knowing what the heck was going to happen and how it was going to be and how it was going to be received, because we'd really entered the tour very delicately. We realized that the tour was really kind of the first time of us truly kind of making a creative statement post the passing of Groggs. So we were very conscious on how it was going to be and how we wanted it to be with as much control as we could have, basically. So we went into it very delicately, strategically, just doing, you know, a major date thing and not trying to, you know, hit the road, Jack, and, you know, crank out this big tour where it's like very, you know, maybe what you would typically do after a big album release. We wanted it to be as comfortable for us so that, you know, when we're on stage, it goes well, you know. So there was that side of it. And then there was also just the general creative side of it. And when we had kind of realized that the album itself and the live performance itself was best as a single piece and playing the record front to back that I think kind of let us really focus on, okay, what is the imagery and how is Parker going to really dial in what this is going to look like? We focused more on performing the music, and it was less of like a interactive interpersonal experience on stage. And it was more of like us really fleshing out these songs in a live space. And it allowed us to really just focus on the music and not kind of not necessarily not face what was really happening, but it made it us a little bit more comfortable, you know, when the room is just completely smoked out and it's very silhouette based. Because, you know, going into that, it was definitely a difficult situation. But I feel like we managed it as well as we could going into it. And the reception is what made it enjoyable, if that makes sense. Because I think we went into it like for ourselves, trying to make it as comfortable for us. Because obviously, if you're not comfortable, you're not comfortable. The way that Parker was able to lay it all out, I think it was exactly the way that we needed to do it. And then it actually going well made it fun, if that makes sense.
Did you kind of feel any kind of change in the dynamic between yourselves and the fans on that tour? Because clearly they know the situation and you're working through that kind of process. Did you feel that any noticeable difference between previous shows and those shows?
Definitely. I would say that a lot of times, and maybe it's just the music that we were making and performing, and there's nothing wrong with this, but you could really feel prior to this that, you know, people just wanted to have a really good time and we were their outlet for that. This felt like they were really going to respect every moment and take in every moment and realize that everything that we were doing was kind of like a conscious decision. And people were still having a good time and expressing themselves, but you can tell that people were really realizing, you know, this was a sensitive space. I mean, obviously, and every now and then there's just going to be the one guy that's just really drunk in the crowd. That happened one time in Australia. There was just one guy that was just, I don't even think he knew where he was, and we're playing a super intimate song and he's just trying to get everyone moshing and everyone's looking at this guy like, dude, do you understand what's happening?
His eyes were like glazed over, man. His eyes, no one was home.
Did it in any way convince you, I don't want to say to carry on, because I appreciate that there's not a definitive roadmap for where you're going or what happens next, and we'll come on to that. But in terms of just the fact that you have put out new music and it is under this new name, was any part of that decision, did it feel vindicated by going out on the road and playing those shows and seeing that there was this support and that the kind of people were there for the evolution of what you were doing?
Yeah, I think in general, the reception on the record already was like, okay, you know, because we had so little expectations. And then the reception on the live show also was kind of like wow, like, We've all grown together and this isn't going to be as jarring as we expected it to be. And we can really lean into these elements that, you know, we have a lot of fun with. And, you know, really, because the live show, that level of improvising and experimental aspect of it, that really ended up impacting our creative process in the studio as well. It's always a positive aspect when you see people, you know, really liking and appreciating and moving to the stuff that you make. And it's definitely, I mean, tour is so inspiring, especially if it's with people that you enjoy and other artists that you enjoy. I mean, sometimes you learn way more on tour than in the studio. So it's always been a very positive part of the creative process.
And this week you've released Double Trio, the first release under the name By Storm. I was curious as to how you were feeling in the run-up to this release and in the immediate aftermath as well. Were they very different states of mind? How's this last week been for you?
We've been pretty anxious to put it out, you know, and excited to put it out because it's important to us. But at the same time, like, we wanted to make sure everything was perfect because this is a lot more than just a new song, you know? So we wanted to make sure that the way that we did this transition showed a lot of respect for, you know, the last 8 years, more on our end. But, you know, we knew that these last, you know, maybe 8 months or whatever, it's got to be right. And I'm really, really happy with the way that it worked out. I'm really happy with the way that Parker directed it, the way that the video worked. I'm really happy with all the events that we did because we were able to do a premiere in LA and talk in front of everybody with Harmony Holiday and sit there and really lay out what this is talking about. And then in Phoenix, we were able to do a thing at the movie theaters where we showed every single IR video chronologically leading up until this. And really adding the weight to this event has been really important, because this isn't just like a, okay, and here we go, you know. And the new song is really, it's the statement itself, but it's nothing without the past, you know, 8 to 10 years. So building up to it, I mean, we were excited, but, you know, we've been working and trying to dial it in. You try to lose a lot of expectations on how it's going to go and really focus on the moment and less of, you know, how it's going to go. But when something does well, and this is, seems to be doing very, very well, at least internally with the people that, you know, have listened to us in the last 10 years, which is the most important part. This isn't necessarily like an outreach thing where you're trying to grab new people. This is, you know, just to make sure the people that have supported you consume it. And I mean, from what we've seen, it's the best feeling ever. You know, it's people seem to really enjoy it. And we're happy because, you know, that's why, you know, we've been working on this one piece and choosing it. And I think people seem to respect the way that we laid it out.
Yeah, I've been having to remind myself that it's like a single. We spent so much time on it. It's so dense and everything. I forget that there's not going to be like a proper like suite of reviews like coming out or anything. It's in a weird in-between place. It's like formally the way we did it is like starting the promotional campaign for like a new major label signee, but also the song would be the worst song ever for that. So it's like it's in an awkward space, because a lot of the people who are interested in what we're doing at this point, I think, are people who are also very invested in like the album format. Yeah, but the reception to the song itself has been incredible, it seems.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, the way it's this in-between space, because you kind of made it very clear that there's not strictly an album coming. This isn't a kind of lead single or anything. It is, it's just entirely its own thing. And like you said, you've kind of put as much effort and attention into rolling this out as you would perhaps a full project. It feels like a real statement to say, no, this is one thing, this is the message, this is what we want to say, and there's take your time with it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, we really appreciate you taking it like that and noticing like that, because that is our intention. And it is really easy to, you know, take a step back and be like, there's probably a better way that we can, you know, modify this for the modern standard, but it just doesn't work for this. Also, like the way that we're doing this, it's happened before with other bands, but, you know, this is a very particular to us, and it's just the right thing to do. And I'm really, really happy with the way that Parker was able to communicate it. I think it's literally perfect. And I think it just adds so much value to what's going on. And we're appreciative that people are, you know, at least open to consuming it the way that we're trying to put it out. But we've been lucky with that. You know, the people that support us kind of realize that, you know, we are sometimes going to do things a bit untraditional. They're not the type of people to expect, you know, a project every year and a bunch of stuff. And not that we aren't able to do that, but, you know, everything we're going to do is going to be conscious. And I'm just happy with the way that this worked out. And I'm hopefully that what we put out is enough for the statement. And it feels like it has been. And I think, like we've said before, it would be a little bit different if it was like just a random, straightforward single. Just the way that the song is and the way that Parker did the video, it also makes it a lot easier to be a piece of its own. I think it could have been a lot more difficult if the song was a bit different.
This has happened more since it came out, but I've come to appreciate even that tension in it of itself, because, you know, like there is clearly like this like oppositional, like pro album faction, this kind of like defensive posture against like the Spotify, like maybe your average music listener. Like, it's an increasing trend where they don't even like have artists that they like. It's just like playlists, and they'll be like, I like this song, I like this song, and they can't even tell you who they're by. And so you have these like album people who invest really heavily in the album format, kind of in like a defensive response to that. It's almost like the reactionary like culture war stuff. Sometimes it's like, let's just talk about the content here. Like, let's get back to like, what are we listening to? What's it say? Like, this albums versus the singles playlist culture. People just start talking about like generic ideas, and maybe both the things they're talking about just suck anyways. I don't know. Yeah.
To get back to the music, Richie, I wanted to talk about Double Trio lyrically. Was it a hard song to write? Because the thing that struck me is that it feels like there's a lot of time and life in this song. It feels like you couldn't have written it early on. So I just wondered if you could kind of talk to me a little bit about the journey of writing these lyrics and what it means to you from that perspective.
There was nothing difficult about this one. The feeling is kind of undeniable, the production. And it's kind of one of those ones where the journey, at least the first, you know, two journeys in the production were already existing. And I was building off of that. So, you know, the first minute or whatever and how it drops into the sample being more straightforward. My reaction that you're hearing on the record is my reaction that I was making live. The beat started and I was doing, you know, kind of the delay section, which is, you know, my favorite, like, writing in the aspect of the song. And the beat drop, and it just, there's some things where the production is so undeniable that your reaction to it makes anything that maybe would be difficult content-wise so easy, because you really can kind of embrace the moment and what's going on. Then again, I mean, I would see the content of the song being rather positive personally. So if anything, it made it easier to write through. So, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, I had a really, really fun time making the song and writing the song. It was pretty quick. I mean, I did it in 4 hours or something like that. And I sent in and then Parker added the ending to it. And then I wrote to that in another time. That was a bit delayed from the first half of the song. But even that, if you can really embrace the moment and really let your writing being driven by the production itself, you don't really look at the writing process as like a daunting or a productive task. It's really just like kind of finishing off the product, if that makes sense.
Let's go. I said, the page drive me bad, nigga, I was wide awake. When I get off your ass, that's what your mama say. Yeah, yeah, my chest out, got some shit to really build a nest round. There was the rain with the pain, and when I washed the rest out, he wasn't conscious of pain that brought him out his rest now. Oh, it's the Wild West now, I got some shit to test out. The way he walking his pep, got a little more step now. The way he talking his breath, got a little more zest now. They tried to grasp straws, they broke the camel's back now. They tried to test stars, but didn't take the best route.
Parker, you've directed this video for the Injury Reserve track, By Storm, and the By Storm track, Double Trio. Can you talk a little bit about the concept of this quite long video and how it captures the, I think it's like a hello, goodbye nature of the new material?
Yeah, we had the general form of all that, just the idea of double it, doing a double video for that song and the new one in mind before we made the new song. It wasn't like the most conceptual. It was very like instinctive. I don't know. It just kind of came about. Maybe I was looking at like all this like old footage we had or pieces of it, and then realized it was really like this like silly looking treatment thing that I did first. That was like pretty much, okay, this is what the video will be. That was like a rough draft edit of all the archive footage that you see projected on the first video, putting that in, then pulling out, and it's like a picture of a theater and you see the projection on it. It was less like conceptualized and more just kind of like demonstrated the first like instinctual ideas, I guess. I'm sure it would be easy to latch on to them after the fact and like place some concepts on to like the sheet and the projection of images and all that, but that would be really like secondary to kind of just like seeing the images and then like trying to explain them and then trying to do them.
You know what's so funny about that? That's exactly the writing, like the process of the music as well. I think a lot of people really dive into like the conceptual aspect of like a lot of the writing and the music and even like the production and sample choices and all this stuff. And I mean, obviously everything that we do is very thoughtful, but most things are very, very instinctual. And it just felt like, you know, the song was appropriate for what we wanted to do, because we knew prior to this song that this is how we wanted to present this moment. And we were waiting for the song, basically. And we made this and it was like perfect for it. That's what's so funny about that is the way that he talks about going into the process of making the video. It's the same way that I went into the process of writing the song. It's a lot more instinctual. Like I'm saying, I heard the beat and, you know, the first time I'm hearing the beat is the first time you're hearing the beat, just because I've found that it's a lot easier for me to make more interesting like vocal cadences and melodies and just music in general if I'm, you know, instinctually reacting to something with the mic on. So my process is a lot less of sitting down and pen and pad and figuring out, you know, okay, what am I going to say on this song? It's more of just like this instinctual feeling. So it's very interesting to hear him talk about it on the video aspect, because that's exactly how I approached the song and how it came along.
Well, I realized saying all that, there is one element that was probably more conceptualized just because it kind of had to be. It was pretty tricky. The final sequence, I was really into that as, I guess, like a kind of like a splitting of like time. And there's this shot that I've never really seen done anywhere else since. It's like this movie, Goodbye to Language. I actually just recently, in the past like week or two, was reading something about it. And it's funny with the hello goodbye thing, because I guess it's this like 2000, I don't know, 8 maybe, like Godard film. The whole movie's shot in this like 3D, but with like flip cameras, if you remember like what those were and all that. And there's just this shot where while it's in 3D, one of the cameras pans and goes away to something and then comes back. And so it's just this really weird like splitting of time thing. And so we tried to expand on it a little bit by not just going 180 degrees, but going, I don't know, what's that, like 720 plus 180, I don't know, a couple times around, all the way around. But yeah, I think that one was the most conceptual. I feel like maybe a lot of people just like assume it's like maybe like an effect or something. But the more you look at it, I promise it's like very jarring, because it is two separate pieces of like the same chunk of time, and like the space changes, but it is the same piece of time. It's, yeah, I think that was the most conceptual, and it was tough to pull off. Like we had two cameras, like trying to line them up perfectly, the same camera with the same lens. One of them is on like a motorized head, and then you got to like piece it back together after the fact so that the movement and everything is like perfectly aligned.
So Devil Trio has been released under the name By Storm, which is the final track on the Injury Reserve album, By the Time I Get to Phoenix. Clearly this kind of fits very nicely as the transitional moniker, if you like, that has elements of the past and also fits the present. I was wondering if you could talk to me a little bit about the significance of that song. I know you've described this track as kind of a point of comfort for yourselves and your friends. You know, it has this lyric in it, the show must go on. As a fan, as a listener, you kind of think that that's a real thing to hold on to when you're listening to this music and thinking about what's happened. Was that kind of a lot of what you were thinking about at the time when you were coming up with a name under which to release the new material?
As much of a standout as that song is, I feel like it's almost more of its placement being the last song on the last album. It just feels like kind of like the most gentle handoff. It's kind of a confusing band name too, which I don't mind. I think confusing is like good for the most part, because everything is like talking down to you like you're a baby now. I would say even like with that line, like I every time I see people get very attached to that one line, I if I'm not mistaken, like the thing right after it is I don't know. And I think that's always been just as much like a part of all of these decisions is the I don't know side of it.
That's so interesting. I mean, people really they kind of pick and choose what's an important lyric and what's not. It's all fun and games, but I mean, I think at a certain point we lucked out, you know, like Parker said, the last song, it's a cool title, you know, how perfect is that? And we love the song. And we also like the way that the song feels, you know? So I think we kind of just lucked out and the cards kind of laid out for us. No one was thinking about anything else, you know? And also in general, we felt like the name was definitely interesting. And while people, you know, have always loved the IR name, we've always felt, maybe it's just because we were kids when we came up with it, but we've always felt like, you know, maybe it didn't fit us or blah, blah, blah. And we kind of suck in general at names and stuff like that, but maybe something we would come up with on our own too.
You've been very clear that this is kind of a one-off currently. We're not kind of talking about the future. This is what it is, and the future holds whatever the future may hold. Do you have any, like, beyond specific plans, do you have ideas as to what you individually or together want to do in the future, what the future holds? Presumably you're both going to carry on making music. Are you able to talk about, like, just the broadest sense of what you hope to achieve in the future?
I think that's the part where that's why this is. I mean, also it's important that this isn't a campaign, but also it's like we don't have that, like, exact creative direction that we know we want to go on. We liked how the last one was like a very focused direction and being able to really build off of that. So I think it's as simple as, like, you know, finding that and building off of that. The way that, you know, this career works is, you know, you're always continuously thinking about this, and you may not always be, you know, in the studio making sounds and writing lyrics, but this is always going to be a continuous thing that you're thinking about, and you're always going to be consuming different media, whether, you know, it's film or, you know, music or stuff like that, and kind of just trying to figure out, you know, where you want to land in all of this and how you want to lead this and push it forward. So I feel like, I mean, at least speaking on my end, I feel like we're just in that process of just trying to figure out exactly what it is. And luckily having this song as like the moment and putting this out there gives us a little bit of time to really dial it in. Not that we're really rushed or anything, because, you know, luckily all the people that support us seem to be pretty patient and understand that, you know, if we're going to do something, we want to do it the right way. But I think it's really just kind of figuring out a direction and on where we want to go with all this. And once we find it, it's kind of one of those things where it's just all forces ahead, but you got to definitely get there, you know, if that makes sense. And we just aren't necessarily there right now. We haven't, you know, figured out that exact thing that we want to grow off of.
I feel like maybe I was like subconsciously like waiting for this to come out to like feel out like what there was to like latch onto within it. It's so out there a little bit production wise that, I mean, there's even stuff that I like about music that I had to like give up and be willing to like sacrifice to let it sound weird in like certain parts, like even just like textures and like mixing and stuff, to know that people are excited by that and comfortable with that. When even I'm like, it's interesting, it shocks me. Does this part sound good? It's good to see like an openness, and it makes it honestly just like more comfortable to circle back on like something like that, I think. So I honestly think it'll be like easier to make new stuff now. There's nothing planned right now, but I would definitely not mind doing some like smaller shows and like starting to play with it live and creating like a space is like By Storm Live, like starting to like kind of troubleshoot that a bit in like some more like intimate settings. It's kind of like a somewhere in between individual and together, just because there's like a variation on like, I guess, the amount of like responsibilities involved compared to like our music work as a group. At the same time, there is like I'm trying to be vague, a very large undertaking project that will really have 2 weeks of hell on in about a month that I'm very scared but excited to do. So there's, yeah, some other daunting things going on as well. But yeah, I think those three sum up most accurately like how I feel about moving forward.
I think what you're doing with this release, it feels very in keeping with where you've been and how you've always acted. You know, you're not saying there's going to be this, there's going to be that. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere holding hands. And that is kind of, it feels refreshing. It's kind of, it's a little bit confusing. It's a little bit alienating, but in a really interesting way. So yeah, I was curious as to whether you kind of feel almost like the last few years have really vindicated your approach for the previous decade.
Because things have gone well, yeah. I wonder where we would be if people didn't like the last record, you know. We had been through a lot with that record, particularly, you know, professionally and interpersonally. And by the time it came out, we were stern on our stance internally with no clue on how it was going to go in regards to reception and the way that it went. And then the way that the live shows went. And then even now, the way that this new song's going and the way that that we presented it, people perceiving it the right way. I think it just reinforces, like, okay, like, we don't need to do anything but what we want to do creatively, you know, if we give our all and are focused on something, that people are going to be open to it. I mean, once again, it could have gone a lot differently if people didn't like the music.
With this song, like, by all accounts, like, it probably should have been like, I'm going to spend like 6 months listening to post-rock. And we're going to find like another sample. We're going to be the, you know, like that's what would be like the sensible thing to do, I guess. So even when you, I think the reception of this one has even been a good sign too. That even when you find something very distinct and it is difficult and you put it out there, it's nice to know that people won't even latch on too much to that like brief, singular flash of something and then expect you to like just make watered down versions of it for like 5 years.
They like your approach, like they like Parker's approach, and I think that's way more important than liking we were fighting against people, and we've done this historically throughout our group as like fighting against what people are identifying, you know, the injury reserve sound as. Doing that, people have gravitated towards the approach and the mentality instead of a one particular singular sound. And because of that, here we are once again, and he's pushing in a different direction, and people are into, you know, the approach, and it's not like they're trying to dial in a particular sound. So we've gotten lucky. I mean, I think it also is because he does it well. You know, I think it would be a little bit different if it didn't, you know, always sound really good. So I guess we'll just do it until it sounds like shit.
I mean, a lot of people like to like pay lip service to these kind of things, like the next album, like you aren't gonna like it, but like I don't care, like you know, and then they're really just like trying on like a different style that's like someone else's. I think that's kind of common. I think we've more and more been able to find out like how to actually do that. This one was also nice because it was like kind of cyclical in a way. Just like our very first music was like basically just from being like really big Tribe and De La fans, the like 8 years of making stuff, 10 years, whatever, and picking up so much. And then this new debut single being definitely on some levels just like a jazz rap song is nice too, I think. It kind of lays bare, yeah, the journey or maybe even growth, if someone wants to call it that.
Which wasn't like we were trying to make a statement by that. It just happened. Sounds really good.
I assume there's going to be more Bystorm music in the future and that you will continue under that name and do things. And it will be obviously linked, and obviously it's always going to be in the mind, but it will become its own thing, and it will some of those ties will dissolve, and you will kind of be your own entity. With that in mind, when you're in a few years down the line and you can look back at IR and kind of think with a bit of distance, which I appreciate you don't have right now, so maybe this question is quite flawed, but how do you kind of view IR from where you are right now, and what makes you most proud about the things that you achieve with Grogs?
I'm proud of us, you know, navigating, you know, not industry, but, you know, navigating this landscape in our own way and building things up. The only way that we knew how to do it, and playing our own game. You know, we tried to play the game for one record and happy with it, and we went back to our approach. I mean, I'm just happy that we stayed true to who we were, and we stayed competitive internally and externally, that we were able to put something out there that was, you know, in our opinions, worthwhile to consume. because, you know, we've always kind of sat in the mindset of like, you know, if it's not going to be at least its own thing, you know, there's really no point of it, you know, existing. We've never looked at this group as like being any type of, you know, placeholder thing or something to reinforce any type of particular scene. You know, we've even seen things come and go, even all the positive things, you know, when they start calling it, you know, jazz rap music, or then, you know, industrial rap music, and then, you know, noise rap music. And every single one of these, we never wanted to, you know, necessarily be a part of one singular scene, because, you know, you live by the scene, you die by the scene. We've always been about, you know, community and stuff like that. But, you know, it's always been about doing what we wanted to do. I mean, that's what I'm the most proud of. I'm most proud of, you know, you can listen to these, you know, five projects. They're all different. They're all honest. We were doing the best with what we could do, and we were never crying about it and trying to, you know, make that our aesthetic either, of, you know, trying to pull off this like DIY, like this like transparent fourth wall DIY aesthetic. Like, we've never been into that. It's never been, you know, I'm doing this all by myself and you should like it more because of that, or that's why it looks like this, or that's why it sounds like this. It's always been doing as much as we can with what we can and doing things our way.
For me, thinking about it and listening to what you're saying, maybe the proudest part of it would be like this kind of like culmination of like learning, studying, or whatever. The one thing that's easy to be like really happy with and proud of the whole time is that kind of like restless like posture that we had the whole time. And looking back, like, there's so many flashes of it. I mean, even like the first thing that we did getting any sort of traction being this labeled as jazz rap, and then the first single after that, the hook being like, this is not that. I think that was almost like a mission statement, I guess. We weren't always like there was definitely elements like over the years that were like struggling with also trying to like impress people. I mean, that's natural. I think for a lot of people, that's kind of the only thing. But, you know, we were kind of like maybe at war with that and what we like instinctively thought was like the most important thing. And so I guess looking back, it is really nice to see that like the last injury reserve thing was that like we found it. I mean, within the context, within the land, I would say it is about as much as we could ever hope for that to be. So going out on that note, after 8-10 years of saying that we had that note, the flashes are really sick when you like the parts that you look back on and you're excited by, you're like, damn, this could be like a whole thing if it was like tended to now. Like, it takes a lot of skill and time and maturity to realize like what those things are.
Damn, nigga, it really, it brings a pause, but damn, nigga, it really. By storm, I know I'm on. Yeah, won't show everything. So must go on, so must go, man. So must go on, shit, I don't know. It raises a voice, but damn, nigga, it's really pouring. Shit, we got caught by storm, and we ain't even know it. To you, this shit knee high. To him, it's to his shoulders. I see what gravity did to my pop shell. It broke me. I told my cuz that ain't him. She said, shit, I know that. I see my anchors break down. I don't know how to hold that. There's only so much to.
That was Richie with the T and Parker Corey talking to the Faders' David Renshaw. Their video for By Storm and Double Trio is out now. The Fader interview is engineered by Tony Giambroni. The executive producer is Alex Robert Ross, and the associate producer is Raphael Helfand. We'd like to thank Lauten Audio for providing our microphones. You can find them online at lautenaudio.com. And we'd like to thank James Ivy for providing our intro music. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd appreciate if you left a 5-star rating and review. And keep an eye on thefader.com for essential music news, interviews, and essays. We'll be back soon with another episode of The Fader Interview. Goodbye until then.